Okay, again, thanks everyone for coming. Before we open up in the Word, let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you again for another day of life that you've blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that you've given to us all, Lord, that we can come into this building to meet together as your family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, as we go through your holy Word, thank you so much for this privilege of being able to go through your Word. Father, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds, Lord, that you would wash us with your Word, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what is being said through your Word, Father. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, that I would just be your vessel, Lord, and that I too would be washed with your holy Word, Father. We pray, Father, for those who couldn't make it tonight, that you would be with them, that you would watch over them, keep them safe, Father. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, as we know, we took a break from 1 John last week. Tonight we are back in 1 John. We'll be on verse 7. So 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 7. So everyone open up your Bibles. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. And why don't we go ahead and start reading on verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Okay, so here in chapter 3, John, just to kind of a little review, John has taken us and told us that what great love that God has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and what a privilege that is. What an honor, and it's very humbling. He tells us that the world does not know us because it did not know Him, does not understand us, did not understand Him. And say, now, look, beloved, now we are children of God. And that comes with duties and responsibilities. Then John moves on and says that whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Okay, and that sin is lawlessness. And that Christ was manifested here on earth to what? Take away our sins, to die on the cross for our sins, to give us a new nature. And that in Christ there is no sin, not even a little bit, none whatsoever. So that whoever abides in Him does not sin. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if I abide in Christ that I never sin? No, I do not have a lifestyle of sin. Okay? But whoever sins, whoever continues in their sin, has neither seen Him nor known Him. Okay? So then, into our text tonight. Verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. So John, being the spiritual daddy here, being the spiritual father, starts off here with little children. Children, and the Greek here is technion, because as you remember back in chapter 1 and 2, he's used little children a few times, and it comes from different Greek words. In this context here, it's from the one that means, it's technion, and it means an infant, i.e. darlings, Christian converts, meaning it's a term of endearment. Okay, so he's speaking to everyone here as His children, okay, as His spiritual children. He is their Father in Christ, their teacher. Okay, so it's a term of endearment here. So He's saying, little children, in other words, you know, trying to get their attention here, little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. John again reminds his flock, like he did in chapter 2, that there are antichrists out there trying to do what? Trying to deceive. Trying to lead people astray. Even the elect, if possible. So here in verse 7, here's what the Gnostics were trying to do in this time. These false Christs, or these false teachers, the antichrists, were trying to tell people that they could live a lifestyle of sin. That they could remain in their sin and still be righteous. This is what they were trying to tell people. You know, they were coming around, hey Matt, let me tell you something. You know, you can still be righteous and you can still live in sin. It's okay. You'll still be a child of God. You'll still be righteous. And guess what? You still get to live in sin. Okay, so they're trying to deceive John's flock here by flat out lying. And so, as if you missed it this morning, we had our young men's Bible study. We were kind of talking about that. If we're not in the Word of God daily, if we don't understand what it says, and then someone comes and tells us, hey, you know what? You can still do this sin. You can still remain in your sin and still be righteous, still be a child of God. What's going to happen? That we're going to be led astray. We're going to let ourselves be deceived. Why? Because we're not in the Word of God. We don't understand it. We don't know what it says. Okay? So John is telling his beloved children here, let no one deceive you. Okay? In fact, he had told them earlier in chapter 2 or 1 that, hey, you have an anointing from the Holy One, beloved. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all. Meaning you know the truth. John has taught them faithfully. And so he has taught them the truth of what God's Word is saying. And so he's telling his children here, let no one deceive you. You know the truth. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know that in the truth, there is no lie. Remember in verse 4 it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So to disobey God's commands or duties is sin. One cannot practice lawlessness and be a child of God. One cannot break God's commands and be a child of God and be righteous. Which is what the people were trying to deceive. Saying, hey, you can be righteous and still live in sin. But as John has so faithfully said, no, one cannot disobey God's commands and be righteous. As children of God, we have duties and responsibilities. We're a new creature. Our old nature is dead. How can we still live in our own nature? How can we still live in sin? We can't. How can we be in the dark? If we're in the dark, can we be with Christ? Can we abide with Christ? No, because John has told his flock that Christ is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. No sin. So we must be on guard. We must know the Word of God. Because again, John is saying here, hey, there is antichrist out there. There is false teachers out there. And guess what? They're trying to lead you and I astray. They're trying to deceive us, even the elect. And so if we're not equipped in the Word of God, and they come knocking on our door, or if we flip the channel to, you know, TV, and we're listening to some teaching, If we're not equipped, we don't know what the Word of God says, guess what? We're making ourselves vulnerable to be deceived, to be led astray. The word deceived here literally means to be led astray, to pulled off the right path and taken a side road, one that never ever meets up with the right path. So little children, let no one deceive you. You know, again, John tells his church, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with Christ, if you and I say, you know, if we go to work, we go to school, you know, tell our friends, yeah, I go to church, yeah, I'm a Christian, He lives inside of me. But then we walk in darkness, what does the Word of God say? That we lie and do not practice the truth. And that's a very powerful verse there. And one we need to consider. If we say that, yeah, if we tell people, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and I believe He lives inside of me. But then we, you know, but this very same person that we're telling this to, that we're Christians, they go and see us at a party, you know, getting hammered, you know. Or see us cut in class. Or see us cheating on a test. You know, walking in darkness. Living in sin. A lifestyle of sin. John is telling his church here that if we do that, that we lie and we do not practice the truth. You know, verse 6, I was just reading it, we just read it right now. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. But whoever sins, whoever continues in their sin, has neither seen Him, nor known Him. Nor known Him. What does that mean there? That their conversion was never true. That they never knew Christ. And it's evident by the fact that they're continuing in their sin. They're not changing. And so John is telling his beloved children here, let no one deceive you. My children, you cannot live in sin and be righteous. That is a lie. And so I challenge you here tonight, you know, let no one deceive you. Be equipped in the Word of God. Study it daily. Test yourselves. Make sure. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Practices is the one who keeps on going. The one who keeps on keeping on. You know, you've all seen the commercial, the Energizer Bunny. You know, he just keeps going and going and going and it never stops, right? Well, same thing for the true Christian here. But in this sense, it's the one who is abiding in Christ. The one who is continuing, in Christ. Continuing to obey His Word. Continuing to obey His commands. Continuing to live out the duties of a Christian. The one who is doing good works, for we are known by what? Our good works. We are known by our fruit. I was telling the guys in the Bible study this morning this little quote by Jameson Fawcett Brown. It says, works do not justify, but the justified man works. Or again, works, good works, do not justify. But the justified man, meaning the righteous man, the child of God, works. We don't try to earn our salvation. We don't earn righteousness. But because we are saved, because Christ is in us, because we are pressing towards that goal of being like Christ, the good works naturally come. Because Christ has given us His nature. We're taking on His nature. If it was up to our sinful nature, but now that we have Christ's nature, the good works follow. And that shows one is truly a Christian. I want to read that one more time. Works do not justify, but the justified man works. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is no longer you and I who live, but Christ who lives in us. For us to live is Christ. And if we are of Christ, then we are righteous. It is nothing we earned. But now this new nature that we have is righteous. Dude. Sorry, that was awful. He is holy. He is pure. He is love. He is righteous. And what are we be doing? Imitating Him. Imitating His holiness. Imitating His pureness. Imitating His love. Imitating His righteousness. In everything we do. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Ezekiel 18:9. If he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. You see, he who practices righteousness, and John has just finished saying, he who abides in him does not sin. And the one who is doing that, the one who is abiding in Christ, the little energizer Christian, continuing to follow Christ, is practicing righteousness. It's not like, okay, I must work on my righteousness so that I can abide in Christ. It's the other way around. When we abide in Christ, you are practicing righteousness. Everyone understand that? He who practices righteousness by abiding in Christ is righteous. Is righteous. Why? Just as He, the one we are imitating, is righteous. You know, it's very similar to verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He, the one we are imitating, is pure. What amazing stuff here we have. And so I want to challenge you guys. Let no one deceive you. You know, as John has told his flock that, hey, Antichrist have come. They're out there. The false teachers are out there. You know, we were, again, in our Bible study this morning, we were talking about that, you might be able to remember exactly what was said, Brian, but when you were talking, people don't study the actual counterfeit. Like, let's say, money. Okay, a bank teller doesn't study what a counterfeit dollar is. They know, they study what the real money is by feel. By, you know, say, hey, for sure, this is a real dollar. I know by looking at it. I know by how it feels. They know it because it's real. It's the real thing. And so if we do not know the real thing, the real Word of God, if we have not studied it, if we have not been a student of the Word of God, then how do we know what's counterfeit? How do we know what's false teachings? We must study. We must be students of the Word of God, all of us, so that when we do hear something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, the red flag goes up. And we, because we know the truth so much, it's written on our hearts. We meditated on it. We meditate on it. We know it. It's the truth. And so when we hear that, we say, you know what? That's not right. That's not what the Word of God says. That's what we all should be striving for. Striving for the truth. You know, as I've told you guys many, many times, you need to make sure that what I'm teaching you is correct. You know, how do you know I'm not up here trying to deceive you? You know, for those who are studying, know that I'm not trying to deceive you. I know that I'm going to be held accountable as a teacher. And so, hopefully, I'm doing my best to teach God's holy word accurately. But still, you need to make sure. That's what a child of God does. He studies God's Word, his Father's Word, faithfully. Be a student of the Word. That is my challenge to you. Be a student of God's Word. Don't be deceived, because there are those out there who are trying to deceive. If you're a child of God, guess what? The enemy wants to deceive you. The enemy wants to lead you astray. So abide in God's Word. Abide in Christ and practice righteousness. Amen? Anyone want to comment? Or
I wanted to share kind of a personal experience about sort of the first part of this verse. Sort of the first part of your sermon. When I was younger, I was talking to this guy who was supposedly a godly man and minister, who I was trying to be accountable to, and I was telling him that I was struggling with a particular sin just on an ongoing basis, and that because of that, I thought I needed to, you know, any particular ministry activities that I was involved in, as you know, kind of as an example that were profiled, that I thought I needed to back off of those and go deal with this sinfulness and get it gone. And he said, no, don't let that bother you, man. That's just the devil trying to tell you not to minister. He said, don't let that bother you. We're sinful people. It just happens. You know, you can work on that as you're able. You just keep on ministering. Not realizing, of course, that was detrimental to my ministry and to my example to other people, as well as my ability to even think clearly. And that really was an absolute satanic deception, in my estimation. Say, hey, it's cool, go on in your sinfulness. By the way, go ahead and lead others astray into your sinfulness too, while you minister to them in the name of God. And what I wasn't realizing is what this verse says right here. That the one who practices righteousness is righteous. Why? Because when you do righteous things, suddenly that makes you righteous? Of course not. It's because we are unable in our sinful, fleshful nature to continue on in a pattern and lifestyle of practicing righteousness unless we have been made righteous by Christ, had his righteousness given to us on our account, and are abiding in him. And so that when we are abiding in him, just like you said, that's when we will be doing those works. It'll be a natural outflowing. It won't be going and doing works to be righteous. It'll be because we've been made righteous that we're doing righteous things on an ongoing basis. Keeping on, like you said.
Amen. Please.
I would like to comment what you said, that we need to be able to find to know the Bible, so we can find if something is deceiving or not deceiving. And I'm really thinking about when you go on the web, you look for whatever you want, and what that is about the Bible. You can find great things. You can find people who are putting online a lot of really interesting information, and you can find a lot of people trying to deceive you. Mm-hmm. And this is very important, then, to really know your Bible. You know what is the heart of the Christian message. Because then you read something and start thinking, oh, that's really great, that's interesting. And then suddenly you see something that's really flashing in red, you know. This is totally non-biblical, and you know that you can just go away, this is totally wrong. And these people, that guy who wrote that, he's just trying to deceive you, trying to look biblical, and he's not, because it's, you can see after some point that there's something that is totally non-biblical. Mm-hmm. And I wanted also to add something about what you said about the righteousness, that Christ is making us righteous, he's changing our nature. And I would add also the kind of thing that Paul explains, that you've got now two natures in you. You've got a heavenly nature, you've got an earthly nature. And then everything you do, everything you listen to, everything you see is going to fit either one or the other one. Yes. And this is a struggle within yourself, between your old nature and your new nature. And at every single point in time, you need to choose who you want to feed. If you want to feed the new nature, for it to become stronger and to become more holy, more righteous, if you want to feed the old nature and to have more and more struggle coming in.
That's good. Yeah. I like that. Which nature are you going to feed, you know? That's good. I have I just thought of something. Who in here has actually prepared a lesson before, like a Bible study to teach? A couple people? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Not tonight, but here's what I want us to do in the next maybe month or two. Okay. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, we'll try and bring in a laptop or a computer or something, and we'll bring a couple CDs. And I want to teach you guys, maybe, and Matthias and Brian can help me, try and teach you guys how to study the Bible, how to prepare a lesson. You know, how to study, okay? If I open up my Bible and I read this verse, man, I don't understand that. What's the first thing we need to do? Pray. Pray. God, help me to have understanding of your holy word. And pray again, and pray again. Okay? And seek after his wisdom and knowledge. He will give it. Okay? And now we have tools. Okay? You look at your cross references. Okay? Different things like that. Okay? But also, you know, for example, I have something called the Power Bible CD. And also, Matthias has given a bunch of us, some of us might need more, a CD that has a bunch of stuff. It has the Greek dictionary, Hebrew dictionary, different commentaries, different translations of the Bible. And that also helps in your studying. Okay, so what I think would be beneficial for us is to teach you guys how to study God's Word. Okay, well, I wonder what this word means in the Greek. Okay, you know, because, you know, for example, if I was just to read little children, well, one who's of the faith might think that just means a little kid, which in one Greek definition it does. But here it's not what it means. Okay? So it's important for us to know these things. What is it actually saying in the original language? Okay? So this is what we're going to do. And then maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll bring in a computer or a laptop. I don't know if that's something we can do. And we'll show you guys how to study God's Word. Okay, then what I'll have you do, I'll give you guys like a month, just because I know you have a bunch of homework, you know, I'll give you guys like a month. I'll pray and I'll find a text, I'll find a scripture, a verse or two, and I'll have you guys study that verse or two. Break it down. What is it saying in the Greek? Look at the cross references and prepare a little, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, you know, just prepare a short little lesson about what that verse is saying. Hopefully that'll be a good tool for you to learn how to study God's Word. And so that will be a homework assignment for you. If you don't have a computer at home, you come see us or somebody, you know, and we'll let you borrow ours. You can come and study at our house or whatever. You know, we'll leave. We'll go to the park and let you have peace and quiet. Okay? what is the sound? Does it sound good? Like this might be helpful for you guys? Hopefully. Thumbs up, James? All right. Okay, so this is important, you know? Like John is telling us here, little children, let no one deceive you. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. You are so good, God, that you would call us your children. That from before the foundations of the earth, you would adopt us as sons and daughters. Wow. You are so amazing. That you would send your Son to die on the cross for our wrongdoings, for our sins. When we deserved death and punishment, you paid that debt for us. What an amazing love that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, may we never take that lightly. Lord, but as long as you allow us to live and continue to give us breath for however many days you have given us here on this earth, with all of our heart, may we worship you and glorify you and abide in you. And in doing so, when we abide in you, we practice righteousness. And we feed that nature, the nature that you have given to us. Lord, may we never feed that old nature, that sinful nature, the one that we hate and despise, the one that was leading us to hell, the one that you have saved us from. Lord, may we never feed that ugly nature. Lord, but may it be said of us that we abide in you, that we study your word, that we continue in it, that we meditate on your holy scripture. Lord, that just as John has said, that no one will deceive us, that no one will lead us astray. Lord, help us to know your truth. Help us to have your holy word written on our hearts that we might not sin against you, our holy God, our Master, our Savior, our King. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.